Blog Talk Radio.
Was taken with lies, CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, you forced the kid, child rearing, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped, it was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me could understand what marriage is. Providing for my wife and kids the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but an etiquette. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't caught a check? Never had a GPS, and still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my rights, apparently I got cancer for my face. See through all your bullshit lies, I'll be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people's shit. Urging up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our rights to live, you motherfucking know me. Tired, I can take you motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyers, they appointed me, never even took my call. They falsified my court strings, but I'm lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, you forced the kid to childbirth. Man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped. They was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, you forced the kid to childbirth. Man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped. They was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course, the kid, child ring. Man, this shit is all bad. My kids are getting out of hell. Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry herself to sleep, and I can't do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel or what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, waste your friends, and broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in the prison cell, the shit that I ain't even. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all our kids are coming home. Playing games for they ain't know the game, I'm with the King of Thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back, and trust me, we don't stand alone. Yes, she is for everyone, it's over what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain I feel it too. Ditches for the complications, pushing hard to make it through. All the pretty y'all, never hope, damn the choice for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. Million other people like me in every city, every state, all across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids and foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you, kidnapped.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Rocky and Bullwinkle Show with Chaco the Mighty Chihuahua. We have with us today Kathleen Hebert, who is, for a better term, Robin Hood. And we also have Woodstock, who is Tyler Gurney, and myself as Snoopy. And we have Lisa Brierly, who's a new guest today, who will be discussing. And everybody can keep their phones on mute until you're called. And then when you're interjecting in the conversation, you can unmute and then mute again when you're not talking. And today we want to discuss, well, a few things. Kathleen wants to bring in the notice of liability and the executive order. She has an idea that she wants to present to the public about presenting a notice of liability, and then that complies with the president's executive order, and she'll tell us a little bit more about that. Are you there, Kathleen? Let me know when you're in, Kathleen. Yeah. So
I'm here. I'm ready.
Kathleen. Yeah, thanks for putting this together here.
Absolutely.
thanks for putting that in a Google Docs file. I'm looking at it. And I wanted you to tell me a little bit more about what the overall goal is. What is your overall goal in the show? What is your overall goal with the
corruption?
Notice of liability. What is your overall goal with the notice of liability?
We want to flip the script because what we have is to communicate with our public prison. And the notice of liability lets them know when we attach our affidavits to it, it lets them know that their immunities are at risk because only for good behavior can they get paid their daily pay. And their retirement, they rely on their retirement. So the immunities, when the affidavits are attached to the immunities, no, when the affidavits are attached to the notice of liability and filed into the court for permanent record and served on all the interested parties, that tells them, the public servants, that they have overstepped their immunities. So they're in bad behavior. It removes them and it removes their retirement from them at the end of the 30 days. The notice tells them their immunities are in jeopardy. The affidavit tells them why. And the executive order says all public servants found in corruption are to have their properties, assets, and accounts frozen. And the important part of the executive order is to be found in corruption. We people have to do that at our county level by filing the affidavit with the notice of liability on top of it. And when they fail to answer or atone for their mistakes or intentional crimes, we take them to the county commissioners for a show cause hearing to say that that public servant is in default. And you're required now, the county commissioners are required to stop that daily pay for tomorrow. And if that guy goes back on the bench or back into his office, we have to citizens arrest him and hand him over to the sheriff for processing. And then the executive order allows us to have found him in corruption and to put basic mechanic liens on their properties to return to the people what they've stolen from the people.
Well, I mean, this is a new idea, right, Kathleen?
Been coming along. It's a new idea for people to turn around and question authority. That's a new idea because we've been groomed to respect authority, but they're dishonored. When they start attacking the people with their statutes, they are dishonored at that moment. But it's up to us to bring them to the public forum, which that's described in the notice of liability. With our affidavits, that's our truth. The notice of liability allows them to know that they're responsible for the damage they've caused and they're at risk of losing their immunities and their job and their retirement after that 30 days. But by 24 people coming together to do it is necessary. That's what our jury would be, is jury of 24, 25 people to say so. We're in agreement, and our agreements are sacred, and we don't negotiate with fraud anymore.
Right. Right. We have Woodstock on the line. Are you there, Woodstock?
Yeah. Hello, Snoopy. Hello, Charlie.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So we wanted to discuss with Kathleen, you know, the notice of liability. She put that together and put it into the Google Docs. I like the file. I believe that it should have more Borg formula. It should have more memorandum. It should have more points of authorities. It should be in proper form. You know, like the Borg formula only has black and white. It uses only Times Roman, New Roman. And it basically does 12 point only unless you're federal, and it's 14 point. So it has very specific rules. There's no colors. There's no background colors. There's no colors in the text. It's just straight text. Because that's what the court wants to see, just straight black and white. And they want to see memorandum, and they want to see a header page. They want to see a proof of service on the bottom. Otherwise, it's a document that gets filed, but not a document that really catches a lot of weight. What are your thoughts on that, Kathleen?
The weight of it comes from our historical, traditional liberties that we have to keep as a republic. Because a democracy, good for the 51%, is always going to trump on the 49%. That's a democracy. Our republic guarantees one by one we are protected from that. So we're just taking it back to the basics, actually. And the affidavit template makes it easy to make your affidavit, but it's three lists: the perpetrator's list, the list of what they did, the numbers, and the third one is how it felt or what was your lasting damage. Those are the truth statements that make the difference. When you put them in order and you see how many perpetrators there were in anyone's case, if you've been there for a couple of years, you know that you've got at least 20 people that are perpetrating the same fraud of a gang stalking method. The state has just gotten overgrown its pants, that's all. If the people don't become accountable and write their affidavits and stand for each other, their declaratory witnesses rely on reasonable minds, but you're not going to get that in a legal system court. They refuse to erase. They boggle this system up so badly that people don't know what to follow. Therefore, they're no longer leaders. They're only public servants.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you some questions, you know, about what you thought in terms of, like, how this system will perform. How do you think it will fare, you know? That's one of the concerns that I think people are going to have, is like, when they present this, are there any known issues? Do we know what kind of performance the notice of liability is going to have? I know you presented it in one case, and I wanted to bring that up, and I also wanted to have you interview some of the guests. I know we have Lisa Brierley in the 801, and then there's some other callers here. So I wanted to maybe interview some of those guests. Can we do that?
If I could comment after. Are we speaking to Lucy or Charlie?
I mean, this is Robin Hood we're speaking to. I mean, she's. This is not a, and she's definitely not Lucy. I mean, she's got a plan. Robin Hood is out there, you know, basically kind of in an activist mode. I mean, I know you don't like to say the term activist. You like to call yourself a
solution seeker.
I think there was another term that you used. It was a, wasn't an activist. It was something, I don't remember the term, but to me, it's all the same. I see one thing, you know, I see either you're lawful or you're legal. You know, I just see those two, but can we bring on our first guest here? Okay. So the first guest we're going to bring on is Lisa Brierley, and then we're going to bring on the 312, and then we're going to bring on the 989 area code, and then if people come on, we'll bring them on. So, Lisa, are you there? Lisa Brierley?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And it's Brierley. It's not Brierley. It's Brierley.
Oh, Brierley. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we've talked for quite some time, Lisa.
Yes, we have.
And, you know, I reviewed your case file, if I remember correctly. There were several Lisas that came in around the same time, so I may have gotten you confused with another. But you're in Utah,
yes,
so
sir.
We talked about, yeah, you may have changed your phone number, so I was looking up the phone number. You may have changed your phone number. I remember you were in Utah then, and, you know, Utah is somewhat of a small town, right?
Yes, it is.
You know, whenever
as compared to major cities.
Right. Exactly. Now, can you tell me a little bit about your case, Lisa?
Sure. Back in 2000, it was September 2000. I had four children at the time, and I had my two youngest. They were kidnapped from me by a DCFS CPS caseworker. My son is juvenile diabetic, and he was the first one to be taken. There was his longtime diabetes doctor, ever since he was 11 months old with the disease, was his doctor, and then he fell and broke his hip, and another doctor came from Houston, Texas, which is a very, very big on CPS. She came from Houston, Texas, to the University of Utah. She was a diabetic doctor, a juvenile diabetic doctor, and she needed a lab rat for her new insulin. And she picked my son to use as a lab rat, and she called CPS and said that he was near a coma. She had never met him. She had never met me. She never examined him, nothing. And the DCFS CPS caseworker came out and said he had a warrant, didn't have anything, and took my son. He said, the police are on their way. Everybody here, there was about 10 people that were around me, including my best friend and her children. And he said, everybody will be arrested if you don't hand him over. And I told Jordan, he was 7 years old at the time, and I told him, I said, we'll get you back. Don't worry. I promise I'll get you back. Well, I never got him back. And with my daughter, I have a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl. She's now 19, but she was 2 when she was stolen. And she was ordered to be taken by the assistant attorney general. It was not the judge that ordered my daughter to be taken. This assistant attorney general waited till the judge got down off the bench in juvenile court, my first hearing with, over my son. And he left the courtroom, and Paul turned around and told the DCFS caseworker who had taken my son and said, go get the baby. And this man, from that point on, he and I became mortal enemies. He put me in jail, my first time in jail, 48 days. My house got blown up. When I was fighting for my children, I went to 3 governors, 3 lieutenant governors, 3 attorneys general. I went to the FBI. I went to the JCC. I went to the Utah State Bar. I went everywhere. And I'm the first woman in history to have a legislative audit prepared on a single case, but DCFS wanted to give me my kids back within 9 months of them being taken, and Paul said no, the assistant attorney general, and his boss said no. And then I found out years later that they were having an affair at the AG's office. That's why she said no, his boss. So this has been a really long case. I have a good relationship with my juvenile diabetic now. He's got a family of his own and a son. And my daughter's now 19 and absolutely stunningly beautiful. So I'm talking to her on Messenger and taking a little bit at a time. But it's been a long road for me. I've done a lot of groundbreaking things to, with laws regarding children. I'm a parental rights activist and advocate and a children's rights advocate and activist. And I do an awful lot, and I've done an awful lot. It's just really heartbreaking to me that these people who were criminals are still up and around. I even had the executive director of the Judicial Conduct Commission tell me, I've got evidence against Paul Amon, the assistant attorney general. He said, I've got evidence on him but I'm going to lose my job and get disbarred if I give it to you. And I just couldn't believe he even wrote that to me in an email. I'll get disbarred and I'll get fired. But he told me he had evidence against Paul and won't give it to me. It just is amazing to me how selfish people can be. They don't want to do the right thing, even when they know that what they've done is wrong. I mean, he didn't make any criminal mistake, but he thinks his job is more important than doing the right thing, and that's what really pisses me off. You know, people knew that it was wrong. I mean, my son was sexually abused the second day he was away from me for a whole year. And I need justice, and I'm going to follow Kathleen. I'm going to do exactly what she says, and I'm going to see if that'll work here in Utah. And I think it will. They shy away here in Utah regarding media. I had the media on my side the whole time, and they didn't like that at all. If you shine a light on these cockroaches, man, I'll tell you what, they will run away, but they don't want to do the right thing. So that's Paul was very instrumental in having my inheritance taken away from me. He went and saw my father in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I mean, he flew to Pittsburgh and went and talked to my father and said horrible things to my father, who had dementia at the time. So this man has been really personal with me. I mean, he did everything he could to destroy me and my family. So this is a question. Yeah, sure.
Okay. You know, so we always look at the one red marble and the supporting yellow, and then, you know, you get a green marble also. So if you were to use three pieces of evidence, red, yellow, green, and red is 80%, yellow is 20%, and green is 5%, you know, and what you want to do is you want to look at all the people that are in your case and maybe look and see who is red. Who is the person that's 80%? Who is the one
that would
really
be Paul?
Paul, because it sounded like that was, and Paul, what is his capacity? What I want to inquire about Paul.
He was the assistant attorney general who ordered my. Well, actually, it's Paul and the doctor. The doctor is the one who started all of it, and Paul was the one who took it the whole way in the court. So it's actually two people that are equally responsible.
Well, hold on a second. One of them is a Ponzi, and the other one is an expert. You know, when you look at this, I mean, I'm just looking at from a mechanics point of view, you know, the Paul is he's got a state bar license and he's the one who initiated the action. And then there is the doctor. Now the doctor is an expert. The doctor is brought in to make a material misrepresentation. And then the attorney brings that into the record as a fraud upon the court. So that's
right.
How it's done.
Exactly.
That's right. How it's done. It's done that way because that way the expert puts his license online. He creates a collateral fraud. He can always get out of it later. The attorney can say, well, it was just a mistake, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving them plausible deniability.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what is your current plan to initiate some action overall? What would be your overall plan, or do you have one?
Well, I have a couple actually. I want to do what Kathleen is talking about doing the affidavit and the notice of liability. And also, to put an FTCA claim in, I'd like to do that with the Attorney General's Office in Washington and the Inspector General's Office in Washington. I initially, after this started, I called the Office of Public Affairs at the OIG in Washington, and he sent out two agents to Salt Lake to investigate this case, and that was pretty much after I had gotten terminated, but I was still fighting for my kids. And I told the office, the head of the Office of Public Affairs, Don White, I said, hey, you know, I'm having a really tough time here. This is what's happening here. And he sent out two agents. The two agents, I gave them my evidence, and they went through it. They went to the FBI. The FBI agent, her name was Michelle Pickens. She was an agent. She and her husband came from Houston or Phoenix, Arizona, because the corruption was so bad here in Utah, they wanted to do something about it. And she became my FBI agent, and she started investigating the case. And the next thing I know, she's calling me, telling me there is no corruption here in Utah. And when she had adamantly told me she was going to put Paul in jail, his boss, the Attorney General Mark Shurtleff, and all the people, all the perpetrators, she was going to put them in prison. She had promised me that. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Let me tell you what the next thing is that happened. She became the head of public corruption for the FBI in Salt Lake City. She called me up and told me there was no corruption here, public corruption here in Utah, and then she became the head of public corruption for the FBI at the regional office here in Salt Lake City. She sold me out and got a really nice job, got a really nice raise, got high level position, but she told me there was no public corruption here in Utah and became the head of public corruption. That's what happened. But this is what happens.
Let me ask you some questions here. Because corruption is corruption. I mean, everything that you're stating, you know, sounds like corruption. I mean, it just sounds like corruption. And what I'm saying is, I see that. I get where your point is going. But what we want to do is get you, like, you know, on a program where, you know, we could monitor your case. And if you want to monitor it here on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show, we'll basically, you know, get you connected with, you know, the Robin Hood file, and you can put your information in the Robin Hood file and bring it on. And we want to basically review your case on a regular basis and see if
I would love that.
Well, and the other thing I think we can do is we can help you to, it's like a wheel that's spinning around. And if you just tap the wheel a little bit, the momentum just keeps going. And sometimes if you just tap the wheel, the momentum keeps going. You follow what I'm saying?
Sometimes you
just have to tap it just to keep it moving, because after a while, it starts to slow down. So you want to just tap it again and get it back.
Right.
But it's not a race. These things are not like a 100-yard dash. You know, these things are more like a 26-mile marathon.
Yeah, this is 20 years in the making here.
Yeah,
this is
20
years.
You gotta take a breath. You know, people who don't take a breath and they think that everything is a sprint, you know, they're sprinting the 100 yards, you know, and that just doesn't fly. Because they're running into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Know? Now, I wanted to just hold on for a little bit, Lisa, and then I wanted to bring in the next caller, which is the 989 area code. So we'll come back to you, Lisa, and we'll bring in the 989 area code, if you can let me know when you get it. Hello? You're 989?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this
Hi.
Is the guy from 989.
Yes. So, what was your name?
My name's Rob. Or Bob, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. But anyway, I just want to point out a couple things. There's a office for constitutional corruption that a friend of mine started and was approved by the White House. And I've got a lot of knowledge in that area as far as being able to help get things on track, bring some color to affidavits, summaries, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, my story is my wife got sick in 2016, end of 15, 2016. She ended up going on dialysis, and her liver started failing, and a bunch of other stuff started failing. She had COPD, and she could she wasn't able to receive a transplant. Well, during this time, I was the only one that had taken care of her for the whole time. And then towards the end there, her sisters got involved, and I put her in hospice. And I went to the VA. Now, this was on the 23rd of September of 2019. I went to the VA to for an appointment. I came back, I made her dinner and the whole nine yards. The next morning, I had to go do a blood test at the VA. So I went to go do a blood test, and I got back, and I was living in Michigan at the time. I got back at about, I'd say 12:30, because I asked her what she wanted to eat so I can bring something home for her to eat.
Okay, so what was your case about? What was your case about?
Kidnapping, adult kidnapping, APS, two sister-in-laws, hospice, home hospice, the hospital, dialysis, APS, as I mentioned, the funeral home were all involved in taking my wife when I went to the VA. On the 24th of September, I came back, and they said she passed away. They gave me a death certificate.
Is this a wrongful death claim?
They gave me a death certificate and ashes and told me she was gone.
So is this a wrongful
death claim? 9 days later, I see her and the niece of hers at a nursing home that's across the street from my apartment.
Those are irrelevant details. Hang on a second. You're not answering the major question. You know,
okay,
is this a wrongful death? I mean, what's the cause of action? Because you're giving me, what you're doing is you're giving me a series of facts, but they're not related to any particular cause. And you don't have a top-level cause, and you need a top-level cause.
It's a wrongful death claim.
Okay, it's a wrongful death claim. Yes. So it's a wrongful death claim. Now, who is the red marble? I mean, who is the most culpable in this whole situation?
APS.
APS is not a person.
Adult Protective Services and her sister.
Okay, but hang on a second. APS is not a person. I mean, there's a person who is the most culpable in your case. There was a worker that basically was managing that case, right?
His name was Al from APS.
Okay, Al from APS. Now, Al from APS, right? Now,
right.
He's like Alvin and the Chipmunks. He's got a whole bunch of chipmunks that work with him, right?
Yep.
Remember that show,
yep.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, where they sang in a high-pitched voice? You know,
yeah.
He's like Alvin and the Chipmunks. And basically, he's got a whole crew behind him who are all engaged in a conspiracy. And this conspiracy is to conceal one primary fact. Now, what happens is it's kind of like playing a game of dodgeball and keep away. You know, keep away, the game of keep away is kind of like they keep you away from the one red marble. And then dodgeball, they bring in experts at the trial, and then they start throwing, you know, balls at you. You know, they're trying to hit you. So it's two separate games. One is keep away, and one is dodgeball, where you're the in the middle and they're throwing the balls at you. So let me ask you this. What was the red marble that they were keeping away from you? Do you know what that fact is? Because you need to know that fact. Otherwise, what you've got is a long-winded story, a series of irrelevant facts that don't connect to a cause of action. However, you said wrongful death claim. So now you have the cause of action.
Basically, I guess the red marble was because the sisters wanted her to be buried next to another sister that had died previously on the 11th of August of the same year.
But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, the red marble in this situation relates to a wrongful death claim. So there is, I'm telling you right now, this is 100% factual. This is going to happen. It's a prediction that you can't get around. If there was corruption, and I believe there is.
No, 100%.
Yeah, well, hold on a second, though. Just because you know that there is corruption doesn't necessarily mean you can beat it. You have to know what your red marble is. And that red marble was something that they did the game keep away. Remember you were in kindergarten? There were two types of games in kindergarten that I remember playing. One of them was keep away, where you keep the ball away from the person, so you throw it. They also call it monkey in the middle. Okay? So
okay.
The game of keep away is that they get in a circle and you're in the middle, and they keep the ball away from you by throwing it to each other. So when you go to one person, they throw it to another. When you go to another person, they throw it to another. And the person who misses the ball, the person who misses, that person is in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Now,
I know exactly
in both of these games, in both of these games, being in the middle is means you're the one who's being played by all the other people. And see, there's many people who played you. Now, do you accept that as a fact?
Well,
there were many people involved in the conspiracy.
Say, do I accept that as a fact? I've got facts based on what happened.
No, I'm just asking you to admit the fact. You've got facts. I'm going to tell you something. You have lots and lots and lots and even more facts. But what you've got is hearsay, Rule 801C. Now, what you've got is information you're presenting. But you have no vehicle to admit the evidence because it's hearsay, Rule 801C. So I'm just telling you, just because you have 40 pieces of evidence, and I believe that's how many pieces you have. If I were to look at your case, I believe you're going to give me 40 marbles. You might even be able to give me 70 marbles. And each marble is important, but you got to be able to connect all these marbles together. Now, you're having difficulty with connecting all these marbles together. I'm just telling you, from a Borg formula, right?
Uh-huh.
the Borg.
No, I understand, but the dots are connected.
Well,
remember in the Rocky and Bullwinkle story when the little man came from behind and started sweeping things up?
Well, I just want to comment to something to make it simple for you. Now, the evidence that you're presenting is all good, except it's hearsay. Rule 801C, you're presenting hearsay. It is coming from the plaintiff.
Okay, how do you figure it's
hearsay,
though, when I've come from behind and picked up all the pieces of where they moved her in the whole nine yards? I mean, they moved her like 8 different times to try and hide her from me. I've gotten written affidavits from individuals.
What you're doing is you're giving me what you're doing. I'm just saying, sir, just so that we understand each other. You're giving me a great deal of material facts, which I can tell you right now are not admitted in the court record. I am very sure that if I were to look at the court record, none of the facts that you've presented to me here are admissible in a court of law unless you cure the defect. Now, the defect is an objection that it's in accordance with Rule 801C. So, if you look at Rule 801C, it says that the evidence that you're presenting on your behalf in your cause of action is considered hearsay, Rule 801C. So, without a cause of action to attach it to, you don't have a means of admitting that evidence. You would be much better served, and this is my point, just so that you can clarify. You want to prepare a declaration of truth. So put together your declaration of truth, a series of material facts, just like you were telling me, but I want them in a different format. So the format would be more like a Borg formula. So the formula is exact. You put the date, time if applicable, and then the case number, and then talk about the person who injected it, the chain of custody, and then describe how it relates to the one red marble that's in your case. Now, if you could put it in that formula, it would be much better understood, because everything would relate to the red marble, and the red marble relates to your cause of action, which is wrongful death claim. So, once you introduce the wrongful death claim, it's like you have a bucket. So, the wrongful death claim becomes a bucket. And then, what you want to do is include all your 70 marbles into the bucket. This is called a declaration of truth. It's truth. Now, the truth is considered hearsay according to Rule 801C until such time as you can cure that defect. And the way to cure that defect is rather simple. But you have to follow the formula. And then when you admit this evidence, it will be admissible. What do you think? Do you want your evidence to be admissible?
Well, yeah, absolutely I want it, and I've kind of laid it out in a summary format, and
okay.
24
now,
pages
here's the thing.
Per day,
here's the thing.
Per time.
If you have a summary format, you know, I can tell you one thing, that you also need to improve your ability to orally argue without telling a story.
Oh,
if you want
to
succeed in court, you want to speak in a Borg formula. If you can learn to speak in a Borg formula, your words will be admitted into court. But the manner in which you speak is what I would consider natural person English language. If you go anywhere, the natural person English language is spoken in the United States. In some areas, Spanish is spoken. You know, and in some areas, you know, other languages are spoken. But in court, there is a Borg formula, which is a formula. And if you know how to inject your material evidence into the Borg formula, you will succeed. But it does not happen through the English, natural person English language. Because, do you understand why, Bob?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'll give it to you this way. Just think of it as a kindergarten rule. That, accept it as a fact for now, and trust me, that speaking the truth in court will not be admissible. It's according to Rule 801C, very simply stated. That's like the first rule. 99.9% of pro se litigants feel they can go into court and sound just like you sound. And I can tell you that the Borg formula is not that hard to learn. And you can use some simple, what I would call kindergarten rules. You know why they're called kindergarten rules, Bob?
Why?
Because in kindergarten, you deal with only one thing at a time. If you have a kindergartner, you do not include the second thing. If you give a kindergartner two things, okay, wash your hands and then eat. No, it's wash your hands, once you're done, then eat. You know, because that's the way to have success, by doing one thing at a time. And I can help you. Well, I can help you to do one thing at a time. Now, this is the exact opposite, Bob, of working in parallel, multitasking. You're a multitasker,
okay,
right? You can do two things at one time. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. But that's normal society. But if I were to give you kindergarten rules are very simple and very basic. Number one, you don't speak natural person English language in the court. Use a Borg formula. Now, a Borg formula sounds more like an objection. Objection, relevant, objection, that matters in a trial. You can place your objections in the court. You can, prior to a hearing, you can make a statement to the court in a memorandum, providing the court with all the memorandum that relates to your case. You speak in memorandum. A Borg formula is a memorandum and points of authority. It's a factual and procedural history. It's a request for judicial notice of documents that are related to your case. It's a witness list. It's declarations, 1746 declarations by declaratory witnesses. And I can tell you, if you use these simple formulas and these simple pieces, every single piece will work. But it only happens one at a time. Do you know why, Bob? We don't do two?
No.
Because even though it may seem like you're operating at the kindergarten level, you're operating at a level where you can snooker a judge. You can have one thing that you ask a judge to do, and if they don't do it, you keep asking for it until they do it. Because that is the red marble. And if you don't get the red marble, you keep on it until you get it. Now, how long do you think you have to snooker a judge before they have to look at something? You know, if you address one thing, Bob, to the court, let's say you and I, we work together and we find the red marble. You say, okay, I got the red marble, Ashraf. Here it is. Then we put together a Borg formula and we put that into the court. You put together a declaration of truth, which is like 70 marbles. I take those marbles in prior to a hearing. I give you one red, one yellow, and one green. That's all you get. No, that's enough for a hearing. Trust me. You're going to get a few objections prior to a hearing. You'll know exactly what's going to be said, exactly what's going to happen, and you just read your lines. Now, with that being said, you have success.
It's more like a script.
Well, yes. What you do prior to the hearing is you script out all of your Borg formula, all of your memorandum that you're going to use for that hearing. But you have to stay relevant. You must stay to the scope. You must stay to the four corners of the pleading. You must stay to the call of action that's being raised by the court. You must stay within the line of reasoning. You must stay within the subject matter that the judge chooses. Now, if you can follow the judge in this manner, then you can write exactly what you need to say and then use it in court. Now, this is known to be effective because it's done in the Borg formula, and most likely on the opposing side, there's a Borg encampment, a group of people who all get together when your case comes up, and they play take away, keep away, and monkey in the middle and dodgeball with you. They push and pull. They pull the evidence away from you, that takeaway, and then they push material misrepresentation into the record through an expert, a doctor, possibly.
Uh-huh.
That's dodgeball. They're throwing, you know,
yep,
dodgeball.
I realize that.
So that's the game. Now, I want to ask you, does that game seem like what they're doing in court?
That's what they're doing in every court from judiciary all the way up to the Supreme.
Well, I just want to comment to something, Bob.
Okay.
That, yes, there is corruption everywhere, but keep in mind that you're one of 50,000, or 10,000. You know, your case is not every case that comes up. You just got unlucky and you happened to fall in this situation. And the circumstances made you the sacrificial lamb. But not everybody that walks into that courtroom is the sacrificial lamb. Most people are getting justice in the same courtroom, but not you, because you're a targeted individual. Now, does that make sense to you, Bob?
Yeah, it's in the roundabout way.
Okay. How much does it make sense to you? Is it like 80%? Or is it more like 20%?
No, I flip. I'm a 50-50 guy.
No, I don't agree with that. No, I'll tell you what. You will never get 50-50 with me, ever. Because here's the thing. Niccolo Machiavelli in The Prince stated that when you're in war, you can never be neutral. Because you're in war here. You cannot be neutral in war. When there's a war that's happening, you're going to have to take a side one way or the other. Because if you don't take a side and you take 50-50, you're on the fence. Now, if you're on the fence, one of two things is going to happen. Either both sides are going to hate you, because when you ride the fence, both sides will hate you. You're not taking one side or the other. You have to either choose to go 80 or 20. No, you want to stick to 50-50. And I'm telling you, you have to go 30% one way or 30% the other way just to make sure you're not near the fence. Because
I don't like
near the fence at all. You're not allowed to be near the fence. If you're near the fence, then you're...
I'd like to object to this line of questioning.
Go ahead. Well, what's your objection?
The objection to this line of questioning is, did I just fall through the cracks? Did the rabbit just fall? Did we all just happen to fall through the cracks? No.
Well,
there's a 50-50, there's an 80 chance that one person or the other is going to win when you have a lawsuit. But when the state is a party to the action, there shouldn't be a state that's a party to the action. If they get paid by the state to serve, they're not there to attack any people. I'm sorry, and I'm done. That's my objection.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well,
now, Bob, back to you.
Yeah.
Now, working with me, you would never be able to hit 50-50. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even hit 60-40 or 70-30. It has to be 80-20. It has to be 80-20 because the formula, the Borg formula, is very simple. And it doesn't have a lot of variation. It's either black or white. I mean, it goes left or right. It's binary. See, when you're in a decision tree, and if your decisions are very simple, they're either red or yellow. Now, red is 80% and yellow is 20%. You're not going to get an opportunity ride the fence. What's that?
I'm more of a red marble.
Okay. So let me ask you this. In your case, do you feel that this process would work for you? See, you're like, I don't know if the process would work. And I'm telling you, well, you can't ride the fence. I mean,
it's not so much riding the fence. I didn't want to put an inner term of riding the fence because I know of the corruption. I know the corporation and I know the corruption. I'm deep into it. I've been doing it for a while. And my major point of view is that the players involved, and I state players as in not plural, but players, each and every one of them are yellow marble to me.
Yes, but here's the thing. What I'm telling you is to use a Borg formula, okay, to speak in a different language, in a different manner. It's not a different language per se. It's just a formula, not to speak in English.
Okay, I'd like to figure this board formula out through you. Have a like a substance call, so I can figure out what you mean by board formula. Is that like courtroom talk? Is that how
yeah.
they present
yeah.
it? Is that a presentation? So it's more of a presentation than it is anything else.
You would use moot court rules.
Okay.
And see, you would be speaking in code. So the number of words that you would use, actually, would be reduced to almost very few words.
Limited. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so out of a
40-word
sentence, out of a 40-word sentence, you may hit on 9 or 10 of the words.
Well, you're going to speak in code. You're going to have a formula. Like when you when you present something, you present it in your cause of action. Now, you're not used to speaking in cause of action, but if you work with us, well, we'll teach you to speak in cause of action. Now, we could teach you as much as you want to learn. And then at some point, you may, you know, say, well, no, this is too difficult for me. This is too complex. Many people walk away because it's complex. You understand what I'm saying, Bob?
No, well, complex means nothing to me. I'm 61 years old, and I learn just as quick as the people that are going to school. So I don't have a problem with complex at all.
How about with kindergarten rules? Rules that are very, very simple, but they're very confining. Like you're not allowed to do two things at one time. You only do one. You know,
well,
when you're going into court, you only do one thing. You know, people try to do, most people, when they bring a pleading to me, well, they bring me like 70 things that they want to do. And I say, well, which one is the most important? Well, they're all important. It's kind of what you hear. Well, they're all important. No, they're not really.
Well, yeah.
If they're all important, then none of them are important.
I understand that fact. You know, I was in construction all my life. And you can only do one thing before you get to the next thing. I understand that concept. I'm clear on that. I understand
thing.
That. It's the board form that I want to understand as far as speaking in, I would call tongues or code or however you put it. That's the point that I need to get to understand where you're going to.
Well, the key point is this. I'll give you the Roger Rabbit format so you'll see what the board formula looks like. And then a lot of the pleadings that are within the Roger Rabbit pleadings, because Roger Rabbit is making these pleadings available to you. And here's the thing.
Okay.
If you were to take the Roger Rabbit case format, you could massage it to fit your case, where probably 60% of the code would translate. And then what you would do is you would take out some of the portion, and in time you would be able to fix your pleading into the same format. And it would work. It would work much better than what you're doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if think about it. The way you would start.
Oh, no, I'm willing to learn anything.
Well, here's what we do. We'll connect you in. You'll write a declaration of truth. And then I think it will work out for you.
Well,
like
basically, that's what I have done, is wrote a declaration of truth.
Yeah. A declaration of truth is good, but
Bob,
remember, it's hearsay.
knowing Bob very well, I know that he has covered all of the Borg formula without calling it the Borg formula. He's done all the statutory work that he needs to do, but he's not getting a response. That's why we have a notice of liability coming up, so that we can stop them from imposing those unjust statutes on the people, so that we can hold them accountable. If we're not accountable, we cannot hold them accountable. But when we know where we stand in the legal system, and that's on the law of the land, the legals have to stop attacking people with the Borg. We need the Borg formula, because the Borg only speaks. It only attacks people with the statutes. So when you go into the legal system, you are needing those Borg formulas to be in order. But we don't want to settle for those Borgs anymore. We want to remove them at the county level as they damage people, so that we hand our possibilities
yes.
something that makes sense, fairness. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
No, it's good. I think it's good. We wanted to also...
And that's kind of why I wrote it in a summary form the way that I did. And
yes.
I went through the Office of Constitutional Enforcement, and they sent me back their approval on the way that it was set up, the foundation, and the points that are going to be presented as of date, times, and then facts per A, B, C. I didn't do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well,
I did
let's
A,
do this.
B, C per each
yes,
section.
Let's do this. Let's do this. I'll get you my email, and
okay.
I sent you a text message, so
okay.
you have my email.
Okay.
Email that to me. And then what we'll do is we'll convert that over to Google Docs, and then once it's in Google Docs, then it's easy to manage from there.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, so we're going to
cut
the show a little bit early today.
I'm just
and,
gonna warn
I
you
just
ahead
wanted
of
to get
time.
Back
I got
to
life.
Kathleen. So Kathleen, so we will kind of be ending
yes.
the show early today.
Yes.
It was a late
I'm
show,
here.
And we'll be on for next Wednesday.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you,
thank you,
Snoopy and Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Snoopy. Thank you, Lucy.
All right.
And Robin Hood.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yep.
Welcome from Robin Hood.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, you forced the kid. Child rearing, man, the shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped. It was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me could understand what marriage is. Provided for my wife and kids the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but etiquette. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't caught it yet? Never had a GPS and still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my right to parent cause I got tested for my faith. See through all your bullshit, I'll be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people. Breaking up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we live. Long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our right to live, you motherfuckers know we did. Tired, I can take you motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyers, they appointed me, never even took my call. They falsified my court stream, flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, you forced the kid, child bring, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, you forced the kid, child bring, man, this shit is all bad, my kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies, CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives, my kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid, child bring, man this shit is all bad, my kids is getting mad.
Come on tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry herself to sleep and I can't do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through, the pain they feel or what they think. For real, it's all.
friend in Brooklyn when I heard the news. Rotting in the prison cell, shit that I ain't even do. The fight is real, we on top, but all the kids are coming home. Playing games today, ain't no to give them with the king of thrones. Loaded up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. This shit is for everyone, it's over what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain I feel, I feel it too. This shit's for me, time to change, pushing hard to make it new. All the tricky scars, ever hope, damn this one for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state. All across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids. This foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you. Kidnap.
Kidnap.